Everything in the old house seemed just the same as it had been before he went to space. It was incredible, thought Hugh Callard. Standing in the front hall and looking around the silent, sunlit rooms, how little had changed. The life was gone out of it now. All the people and voices and the comings and goings when his grandfather still lived, and he had visited here. But that had been long ago, and he was amazed that so much remained still untouched. Like traveling into the past, thought Callard, to come back to this part of Earth. He was tired in body and mind and nerve, and he stood for a while just staring. The agent who cared for the old place had let him in and gone away, and there was not a sound in the house. He walked into the living room where his grandfather's desk still stood beneath the window and looked out. The window faced northward, along the California coastal cliffs that run north along Morro Bay to Big Sur. The Pacific foamed and surged against the huge broken stones beneath the cliffs, and the hills, somber now with a tinge of autumn, shouldered massively up toward the east from the cliff road. It all looked as lonely as ever. No other houses in sight but this gray, weather-beaten house that had faced the sea wind and the sea fog for over 100 years. The old man had been right, he thought. One of the family had come back at last, one who had roamed farther than almost anybody on Earth. But that's all done with, he told himself. Here I am and here I stay. I'm through with space. He started through the rooms, opening windows, letting in light and air. The furniture was faded and old-fashioned, but the place was not dusty. The agent had seen that it was kept in shape. Callard picked one of the big upstairs bedrooms for himself and brought in the blankets and cartons and luggage from the car. He went into the utility room and turned on the power unit, remembering as he did so how his grandfather had disliked and distrusted the unit, how he had refused to have one until the electric wires were all gone and there was no other way to get power. He checked the stove and freezer, shoved his cartons of food into the latter, and then looked around and wondered what to do next. Standing in the silent house, he wondered suddenly if he had been foolish to quit everything and come back to Earth and this old place. No, he thought heavily. Mercury ended it for me. I made my decision, and that is that. Forget it. He strode abruptly out of the house and started walking. After a little while, the dark weight in his mind, the somber knowledge, faded and receded in the newfound old remembered interest of the things about him. His way took him across the road, past the shabby barns, and up sloping pastures where once his grandfather had kept the fine horses he bred. Then he was in among the pines, climbing more steeply, with the resinous smell of the trees strong in his nostrils. That smell he had never forgotten. And once he had met a smell vaguely like it, far away from Earth. Forget all that, Callard. The trees took him in, and he walked through a dapple of sun and shadows. A deer slipped away through the pines ahead of him, and quail burst up from almost under his feet. He remembered a grove of bigger pines farther up the slope, and an old man and a boy walking up to them. How long ago was that? He had been 15. And he was perhaps 32 now, 17 years. Still, he thought he could find the place. He found it. The big pines were still there, for people did not use wood much anymore. The rough, dark giants stood at dignified intervals from each other, and he sat down with his back against the massive trunk of the biggest. Funny, he thought. When I was a boy sitting here dreaming about the future and what I was going to do, I never once imagined that some things would stay much the same. The whole world would be somehow miraculously transformed. But it wasn't. This tree was here when men first reached the moon and Mars and Venus and the rest. But it didn't know about that. It didn't change because of it.